We want to do Holy Spirit part 6. I'm excited to bring this word to you, and I just want to have us sort of remind us a little bit, because we've had a few interruptions along the way, of what our journey has looked like. We started off with introducing Holy Spirit, the breath of God. We spoke about Pentecost and indwelt, baptized, infilled, and overflowing. And then the last time we spoke on this was gifts from a friend. And our key text that we've kept throwing in all the time, because I think it has so much value for us: the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And that was Paul's benediction to the Corinthian church as he was leaving and as he was departing. And we look at this, and I love this so much, because you see the heart of the Trinity. It's key to understanding. It's not about religion. Or someone puts it, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. I've failed yet to define what that really means. I saw Bono from U2 put something on Facebook this week. He said, religion is what you get when the Holy Spirit leaves the building. And we're not religious, we don't want religion. We want a personal relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We cannot have a relationship with the Father unless you've accepted the Son. And we need to accept the Son, because the Son then sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to deal and live in this fallen world. Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father because of the fallen time in the garden. And Jesus came to reconcile us back. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And He has paid for them all. And of course, I would never tell you what to do. You can choose to pay for them yourselves. But I would highly and strongly suggest that you accept the free gift of salvation and allow Jesus to pay for them. Because we think, well, God's going to send you to hell and He's mad at you. No, hell is not a place where God sends you because He's mad at you. Hell is a place you go to get to pay for your own sins. God is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. Which is helpful. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. And it starts off right in the beginning of the John. This is Jesus speaking. If you've got the red letter version, you'll see how much Jesus is speaking here. And He speaks about convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment, and then explains a little bit what that means. And I think I'm going to do that a little bit later on. But then we get to verse 13, and He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you, meaning you and me, into all truth, for He will not speak on His own. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you, and all that the Father has is Mine. And therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And so today, what I want to speak on is Holy Spirit and me. And you can say that for yourself. Holy Spirit and? There we go. We will speak on Holy Spirit and me. Luke 3:16 says this, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And we just go for the first part, we forget about the second part. But what is interesting here, of course, because of the way my brain is wired, I just thought, I've read this so many times, and I just wondered, what was John trying to say? The one coming greater than I am, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. What was the point of that? Because there's always a point. Jesus doesn't waste words. So, I'm glad you so asked, because The point of that is, in the Old Testament, under Mosaic law, was that if there were a brother was married to a woman and had children, and that brother died, then another brother, whatever you choose, should take responsibility for that wife and the kids and look after them. But sometimes the brother would go say, listen, my brother chose that wife, I ain't taking any responsibility, I'm not doing this. Then she would publicly, in front of the elders, because now it becomes an elder issue, she would publicly, in front of the elders, go and remove his sandal from her, from that guy, and spit in his face. Wow. I'm just saying, you're not going to take care of me. So what was John saying? John was saying, there's one greater coming, one who's coming who's greater than I. He is the bridegroom. He will take care of everything. He will look after everything. And I'm not worthy to do that. And I'm not the bridegroom. I'm not the one. I'm just the one opening the way. And John, and then later on he says that I should decrease, that he should increase. And we've taken that one up and messed that one up a little bit too. But John was basically saying, the bridegroom is coming. Wait for the bridegroom. And he is going to take care of everything. And he is going to come and he's going to baptize with water. And I want to encourage you strongly. If you are saved and you've never been baptized in water, you need to be. I'm not telling you what to do, but that's what the Bible says. And so I would strongly encourage you to do. And once you've been baptized in water, that's a command from Jesus. And it says that he is going to come, and it's Christ's teachings, and it's a burial, and it's a resurrection. Where's Mark? Mark beautifully got baptized at the family camp. If you weren't there, just so you do know, he got baptized. It was an amazing time, and friends of his drove out for the day to come and spend time with him, and it was an amazing time there. And then he says, I'm going to baptize you with fire. And we see that completed in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. But it's more and more. So what is the point of the fire? The fire is for salvation, purification, and for judgment. And we look at that and we go, okay, so what is it? And he's saying that the fire is a purifying agent. Now understanding though, that this John now, as he's saying this, he's delivering new information that they've never heard before. They're all standing there watching this whole thing, and then Jesus comes and he baptizes him, and we know that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and it came down, and he said, and then a voice from heaven came and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, etc., etc. John was actually showing you, he was delivering information, because up until this time, all the information was external. It was according to the Mosaic law. Everything was the law, the law, the law. Do this, do that. Get this, get that. Run here, run there. Jump here, jump there. All that kind of stuff. Here John was delivering that there's one coming who's going to purify and clean you from the inside out. And that is the thrust of the message this morning. That is what I want to help us to see. It's from the inside out. A new thing Holy Spirit was going to send to live in us, to change and purify us from the inside out. Instead of living according to the law, we are meant to live by Holy Spirit. Saved by grace through faith. Understanding that, not by law. The tragedy is too many Christians have not allowed Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. That's why we don't have victory. I remember the people, I mean, we see it throughout our church experience, and I'm sure you've seen it. Every time there's an altar call, they come and they cry and they weep and they go away. And they're not changed. They come back the next week. And sometimes they just think, and I know when we ministered in the Philippines, we had to realize that half the time they just thought we were the priest and we were going to bless them. And then we had to stop, shuffle back a few stages and explain. No, we're not here to bless you. That's what Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, reconciled to him. That's what he does. People continually feel guilty, come to church, ask forgiveness. Even worse, it just gets worse. They eventually just say, well, this is too hard. I'm not even going to church anymore. I'm not even stopping this. It's just going to be me and myself at home, and I'm just going to do that. And if I can strongly say, that's not biblical either. Their behavior patterns never change. Frustration builds. I can't do this. And you're right. You can't. I can't. Except by the grace of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the Father. Need to be changed from the inside out, as we sing this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 29. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off your old self. And if you go into the Greek and all that stuff, what it really means is like unclothing yourself, getting undressed, and then putting on a new garment altogether, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, not by other people, but by yourself. Fess up a little bit here. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, stop pretending, stop lying, stop gossiping, stop pretending that you're something you're not. Let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for you are members of another. Yeah, well, you don't understand. I've tried that. It's not working. I can't get there. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Oh, too late for that one. I went to bed angry. I woke up angry. I'm still sulking. I'm still mad at her or him or she or he or we. My kids drive me crazy. My parents drive me crazy. Too late on that one. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Well, you don't understand. You don't know what my life is like. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. I'm amazed how often Christians tell jokes that are south of the border, as I would put it. But only such as it is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then we stop speaking because we've been through our checklist. We can't do the checklist. We are frustrated. We are angry. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Brand new. You are brand new. You didn't have it just an oil change so that I can fit into society. He made you brand new. You know what grieve in the Greek means? Same as in English. To make sorrowful. Just let that download a little bit. Make the Holy Spirit sorrowful. Now, if I ask you to put up your hand, who wants to make the Holy Spirit sorrowful? Nobody, well, I trust nobody's going to put up your hand. But we do it because we haven't been completely changed from the inside out. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, be joyful, be happy, pray for one another, do it consistently, pray without ceasing, stuff. And then it says, do not quench the Spirit. And then it goes on to verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he calls you is faithful, for he will surely do it. Holy Spirit came to empower us to live within us, body, soul, and spirit. Yes, we know that we're saved. We know that imputed righteousness is ours. But we must allow Him to change us from the inside out. Romans 12. We pummeled that one. Broke it open in so many different ways. We have to understand to allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Allow Him to change us. Unless this happens, we are at enmity, body, soul, and spirit. The fallen world we live in. There is a war within. One of my best quotes ever by a thug. The enemy is the enemy. I'm not your enemy. Your husband, your wife, your children, your neighbor, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your auntie, etc., 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 is not your enemy. Often the enemy is the enemy. Amen, Mark. Thank you for helping me. The war within, body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is drawn to idolatry. And I know you're immediately going, well, that counts me out. That's not me. Idolatry is the worship of everything else other than God. Possessions, money, careers, cars, houses, vacations, self-righteous. Please hear me. This is not, I haven't got my belt up. I'm not whipping you. This, when I prepare this, I go through pain and agony going, ooh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So I speak to myself as well when I am preaching and when I'm prepping, because I certainly know long enough now that by the time I walk out the building this afternoon, or even before I even get out there, the enemy's going to go, well, what about this? What about that? Oh, you said this, you said that, you did this, you did that. When I'm talking about self and all that kind of stuff and worshipping other stuff, I'm not saying you don't love God. But you have other lovers that steal your affections away from God. God must, I know they warned me in the very beginning, but that's nearly 11 years ago now, so I consider myself acquainted with the culture. She says, don't ever tell a Canadian to you must do something. Well, try it with a South African and see how far you go. You shall have no other gods before me. He says he's a jealous God, and jealous in the best way. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, of course, I went away thinking, well, why did they say money? Why didn't they say your career? Why didn't they say your car? Why didn't they say, for some of the ladies here, chocolate? In my case, goat curry. Thank you, Tom. Just a quick punt here. It's the best goat curry cook that I know. Back to the sermon. The point is, we are truly, truly incapable of having divided loyalties. You know, when you're at school, if you're a sportsman, did you ever try and play every sport that they offered? I was like that. I was jack of all trades. I, believe it or not, I played baseball when I was 12 years old. I was the field hockey captain. I was gymnastics. I was the swimming team captain. I played the rugby. I played club soccer. I did athletics. I did martial arts, as you all know. I was master of nothing. I became good at some of the stuff. And I think the thing is, yeah, we just can't have divided loyalties. We've got to devote ourselves to... often I wanted to preach the message, the God of chop change, because that's something that's all we give God sometimes. Chop change. We only give God a piece of us when He gave us all of Himself. We give Him little bits or pieces. I was talking to one of the guys at Canada Day, and... he says, yeah, no, we go to another church now. I said, that's wonderful, man. Praise God. So I said, why? He says, yeah, no, your services are too long. Thank you for being honest. And then I thought, I'll just give you a little piece of me on Sunday, God. I'm not being negative, but sometimes we just got to face these realities. Okay, let's move on. The second one is our soul. There was our spirit. Our soul is drawn to pride. When we have an unhealthy view of ourselves, an unhealthy soul spirit, pride is a killer. Trust me. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride breeds selfishness. You imagine often, unwittingly, and we sang it this morning, Jesus be the center of it all, but sometimes we think we are the center of it all. I am that celestial being that everybody else revolves around me. Look at me. Pride brings frustration and anger, that even after, sometimes even after you've acted in an angry manner and you've said something, a light goes on your head away, and as you're walking your way, you're going, who was that person? Did I really say that? Did I actually behave like that? Because we don't want to. We don't do it on purpose, but we have this thing, this frustration. I want to say to you, allow Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then it says this, against such things there is no law. The point that the writer is making is that no one would make laws against people who practice this kind of stuff. You cannot be joyful in church. What? Don't, no laughing. I grew up in a church like this. Why are you walking in your toes? Ooh, it's holy. I'm getting to that. It's holy in here. We're in the sanctuary. And of sorry, I forgot to do it. You've got to carry the Bible at the right angle. Because if you don't, there's a not holy enough. Okay, my darling. Number three, it says two, but it's three. Our body is drawn to lust. Yeah, I know it's that sexual thing, Mark. No, that's not what I'm talking about, actually. It's part and parcel of it, but not necessarily. Lust is when your body desires something and calls the shots. You can lust after chocolate and ice cream. Whoo-dish. Sorry? Chips, yeah. There's an internal war that goes on when you allowed your body to call the shots. When you're not supposed to be calling the shots, you're supposed to be, Holy Spirit, you call the shots, please. Go for the ice cream bowl. No! You're a little boy. He was at a party once and he saw all this crust, all this, the cake, and then and the mother looked at him and said, Johnny? Sorry. Johnny's good? Okay. Johnny, Marky. He says, yes. He says, don't let Satan tempt you. Don't let Satan get the better of you. He says, no, mommy. He says, just tell Satan, get behind me. He says, yes, mommy. Says, Satan, get behind me and push me into that cake. His body took control. He couldn't help himself. Oh yeah, it's when our physical needs for pleasure run unchecked. Hedonism and Epicureanism, features of them, argue that pleasure is the primary, is the most thing, because if it feels good, then it's got to be good, then I must do it. We live in a very hedonistic society. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Have you noticed, when we come here, we behave. Well, sometimes, Chris. It's almost easy not to be the other way. Our spirit remains in check, our soul is focused, and our body remains in check. Our complete three-part being is able to be subjected to the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't ask me why. I'm so glad you asked. Because somewhere in your church upbringing, you think that this building is a special place. Somewhere you think that when we move from the cafe, because that's where it's noisy and we have get coffee, we come in here, It's a special, yes, angels are singing already. Because this is a special place. And some people still, with respect, call it the sanctuary. We're going into the sanctuary now. It's the most sacred part of the building. So when we get in there, we can't just do our thing. Can I burst your bubble this morning? This is not a sanctuary. The only thing special about this place is if we fix a roof, it will keep us dry from the rain. It will keep us cool in the warm weather. And it will make us able to have nice coffee and sit and talk, etc., etc. Because the Bible teaches us that you are the church. That you are the sanctuary. That you are a dwelling place. That you are His building, His body. You are members of His household. And you are a holy temple. If I could say to you, in actual fact, that there is no such thing as a sanctuary built with brick and mortar on earth anywhere. I have to check that pastor out. Yeah. Go read your Bible. Well, let's try. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Oh, okay, no, hold on. No, I'm still my own. I'm my boss. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. When we are in here, we are able through Holy Spirit to keep it all together. Yet when we step through those doors, when we get outside, maybe we haven't even made it properly outside, or at least by 5 o'clock in this afternoon, that other guy or gal arrives. And you just, oh, I can't help myself. No, you can. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you. When we leave the sanctuary, we go outside, we morph into this other being. And we can't keep it together, whether it's by Sunday afternoon or anyway, by Monday anyhow. I can't tell my friends that I went to church. So what did you do on the weekend? And I don't have to regale you with the stories that you hear them all. What did you do Friday night? What did you do Saturday night? What did you do Sunday? Man, if you spoke into my life, I could just, one word, that's all. Party. Then you got to go to work after you've given your life to Christ. So what was the highlight of your weekend, Mark? He says, I met Jesus. What? Okay. Let's go and ask somebody else. So, speaking of Holy Spirit and yourself, give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26, the prophet of old said it this way, and I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. God's will, God's way. When we try and live a double life or two lives or serve two masters, it will wear you down. There will be no true rest in your life. It will bring tiredness. I know what I'm talking about. Allow Holy Spirit to fill you. Baptize in water and fire. Allow His purification fire from within to take place. Remember that series we did, Carrying Stuff? Allow Him to relieve you of all the stuff that you were carrying. Some people want me to say, Pastor, what should I do? Stop it and don't do it again. And come back next week and I'm going to check off the list for you and I'm going to check you out and see if you did it. Like I said before, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Why? Because it's all about your relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've got my own issues to deal with, believe it or not. Our struggle with sin is more of an indictment on our relationship with the Father than it is with our own self-control. I'll say that again. Our struggle with sin is more of an indictment on our relationship with the Father than it is with our self-control. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. So in closing this morning, I want to talk about three prayers I want you to pray. This is not a formula. This is to help. Number one, invite Holy Spirit to show you, or to show me. Holy Spirit, please show me. Put your finger on the areas where I need to be changed, where my life needs to be changed, where I must make adjustments. You can't change what you can't see. Psalm 139:23, this is what David said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David's search was, search me, test me, know me. Before we go on, I'll just take a minute right now. Just right where you are. Invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me. Show me what areas of my life that need to be changed. Illuminate them to me. Make it clear for me. I want to see what I don't see right now. Second one, prayer, is invite Holy Spirit to change me. Once He has shown you, now you can ask Him to change you. David again says, create in me a clean heart, O God. I renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Again, I'm going to just say, allow Him to change you. Allow Him. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's after we've heard about love, joy, peace, kindness, etc., etc. The mind of man is death. Mind of the Spirit is life. Take time right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me. Holy Spirit, I invite you to change me. Change the things that I think are just too hard to change. Change the things in me that I have tried to change. Holy Spirit, come again. Remember that sermon? Indwelt, infilled, overfilled, overflowing. Holy Spirit, come again. Come again and change me. Fill me. Last one. Oh, that didn't help. I don't know what happened there. The last one is invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. Okay. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul is expressing a negative exhortation. What the saints were doing, he's telling them, you should stop doing that. Along with the positive command, what the saints are starting to do. Drunkenness is a picture of excess and out of control. Clouding behavior and judgment leading to debauchery, debauched behavior. And he's saying, allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Don't allow your mind to control you. Don't get drunk with wine. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Let Him be in control. Let Him take charge. So why don't we right now then just go and say, Holy Spirit, fill me now. Thank you for showing me what to change. Thank you for helping me to change. Fill me now, Holy Spirit. Renew a clean heart in me. Holy Spirit wants not only to save and purify us, but to ensure that with the purification of fire, we will be rightly judged in the final day. He wants the best for us. As I said last time, anything that comes from the Holy Spirit is good. It's always good. Show me, change me, fill me. Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, we look to you as the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you that you came to reconcile us back to the Father. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to die on an ugly cross, to bear the sin of the world, take hold of our sins, past, present, and future. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit to us to come and fill us, live with us, guide us into all truth, show us, live with us, declare to us the good things of God. As we sang this morning, He is good. Father, bless us as we go. Continually show us, continually change us, continually fill us. All God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.